6:30 worship service at the United Methodist Church of Kent. Please enjoy.
The sermon this morning is a continuation of a sermon series entitled Journey to Jerusalem. Let's begin with a moment of prayer. May the words of my mouth and the meditations of our hearts be acceptable in your sight, O Lord, our strength and our Redeemer. Amen. Sometimes it can happen that something very upsetting happens during a sermon. Last Sunday, at this worship hour, I threw the congregation into a panic. Some of you remember this, when I noted that I could not find the sermon. The worship leaders were thinking, now what? And everyone in the congregation was thinking, if he does not have the sermon text, he will not know when to stop. But to everyone's great relief, I quickly found the sermon notes and continued as planned. Something very upsetting happened when Jesus was speaking in Nazareth, but it had much more serious dimensions. We heard that story in the reading this morning from the Gospel of Luke. The story occurs shortly before the calling of the disciples, which we considered last Sunday. We are told that Jesus went to the synagogue on the Sabbath day, as was his custom. Jesus went to church every week, and on this day in Nazareth, he read the scripture. He read an extraordinary passage from the prophet Isaiah. The Spirit of the Lord is upon me, because he has anointed me to bring good news to the poor. He has sent me to proclaim release to the captives and recovery of sight to the blind, to let the oppressed go free. And he declared, today, this scripture has been fulfilled in your hearing. Jesus was saying that he was the fulfillment of this ancient prophecy, that God had anointed him to bring good news and deliverance to the lowly. Initially, people in the synagogue responded well. All spoke well of him, Luke reports. But then Jesus suggested that they probably would not be too happy with him. As he said, no prophet is accepted in the prophet's hometown. And he went on to make a statement that absolutely threw the crowd into an uproar. He said, there were many widows in Israel in the time of Elijah, when there was a severe famine over all the land. Yet Elijah was sent to none of them except to a widow at Zarephath in Sidon. And there were many lepers in Israel at the time of the prophet Elisha, and none of them was healed except Naaman the Syrian. At that, Luke reports, all in the synagogue were filled with rage. They got up, drove him out of the town, and led him to the brow of a hill on which their town was built, so that they might hurl him off the cliff. Why were the people so angry, to the point that they responded with such violence? What we see in this story is exactly what we are seeing around the world today in the religious hatred and prejudice and violence occurring in so many parts of our globe. The basic attitude of the people in the synagogue that day was that they, the Jewish people, were the chosen people of God. They were loved by God and favored by God. At the same time, they considered Gentiles, a Gentile being anyone who is not a Jew, to be outside the love and favor of God. Jews are in, they thought, and Gentiles are out. It is the same kind of thinking that we see today among radical Islamists in the Middle East, or Hindu nationalists in India, or extremist Buddhists in Myanmar. My religious group is in with God, and all others are out. But Jesus began to talk about the prophet Elijah, considered by the Jews to be perhaps the greatest prophet in the history of Israel. And Jesus told a story which you will find in the Old Testament, but which no one had thought of in quite this way. Jesus noted how during a drought, when many people were struggling, Elijah had gone to the home of a poor widow, where he did extraordinary miracles. Elijah brought about a miraculous provision of food for the widow and her son throughout the drought, and he saved the son from a deadly illness. That story was well known in Israel. But what Jesus observed was that although there were many needy Jewish widows during this time, the widow to whom Elijah went, where he did all these great things, was in Zarephath in Sidon. That was Gentile territory in present-day Lebanon. Elijah, Jesus said, had shown the expansive love and favor of God to someone who was not a Jew. Then, to grind the point in further, Jesus went on to talk about Elisha, the next great prophet who was the successor to Elijah. He noted the story of Naaman, who was afflicted with leprosy and who was healed by Elisha, another well-known Old Testament story. But of course, what Jesus observed was that there were many Jewish lepers in Israel at the time of Elisha, but the one that Elisha healed was Naaman, the Syrian, a Gentile. The people in the synagogue got the point, and they did not like it. How dare Jesus say that those other people, those Gentiles, are loved and favored and blessed by God just as much as we are? Jesus was saying that God's saving love is wide, that Gentiles are to be included in it. And the people in Nazareth that day could not stand the thought. They responded with anger and violence, the same sort of behavior that we are seeing today. When Buddhists in Myanmar attack and expel Rohingya Muslims from their country, or when radical Sunni Muslims in Egypt attack Shiite Muslims there or attack Coptic Christian churches, it is an age-old human attitude that my group is good and any acceptance or admission of others will diminish my elevated status. Those others are to be rejected and condemned. A few weeks ago, when my family was in Egypt, there was a terrorist attack on a Coptic Christian church on the south side of Cairo. It was about 10 miles from where we were at the time. That may have seemed threatening to us, but actually we felt more danger, as I noted a couple weeks ago, when we were on Egyptian highways. We had it easy. We were tourists, in for a few days and then out, back to our comfortable and safe home. It is quite different for Christians who live in that environment. Imagine being somewhere where people think that you are unacceptable, that you, in fact, are despised by God. These are tough times for minorities everywhere. What Jesus did in Nazareth was something extraordinary in the history of religion. He declared that the love of God knows no bounds, that even as God was working with the particular people of Israel, God's saving grace was reaching further. And now, in Jesus, God was acting to embrace the world. That message, that God's love extends to all, would then be lived out by Jesus in striking ways during his journey to Jerusalem. It started with the calling of the disciples, as we noted last week. Within the Jewish people themselves, there were some who were more in than others. Those who had the wherewithal to scrupulously follow the Jewish laws, such as Pharisees and Sadducees, were considered truly in with God, while those at the bottom of the social scale, such as fishermen, were considered to be on the edges or fringes of God's grace. Yet, Jesus called fishermen to be his disciples and carried his message especially to ordinary peasants. As Isaiah prophesied, he brought good news to the poor. Of all the groups within Israel at the time, there was one group that was especially out on the edges of society, the lepers. Leprosy was a dreaded disease, considered highly contagious, more contagious than it actually is, and it was incurable. There was an attitude in that day that anyone with a terrible disease must have done something to deserve it. Jesus rejected such thinking entirely as being utterly false, but nevertheless, there was this stigma that if you had leprosy, you must be a sinner. In Jewish ritual law at the time, lepers were considered unclean, that is, impure, and unsuited to be included within the faith community. Lepers were required by law to shout out, "Unclean, unclean," when anyone drew near, so that they would be warned to stay away. They lived segregated from the rest of society, literally out on the far edge. But one of the first things that happened in Jesus' public ministry was that he was approached by a leper. This leper grievously broke social convention by approaching Jesus. The standard response of a religious leader in the day would have been to recoil, scold the leper, and send him away. But Jesus, we are told, stretched out his hand and touched him. There could not be a more striking demonstration of how Jesus would break through every barrier to touch people with God's grace. Jesus makes plain that no one is to be classified as unclean. He says to the man, "Be made clean." And so he not only heals the man of his illness, but restores him to the community so that he is to be accepted by others. Thus, at the outset of Jesus' journey in public ministry, in both his words in Nazareth and in his actions, we see a basic shape that will characterize his ministry. Jesus would be one through whom the outsiders enter in. That comes to particular focus in the last story we heard this morning from the Gospel of Matthew. Jesus, we are told, went away to the district of Tyre and Sidon. That was where Elijah had gone when Elijah stayed with that widow at Zarephath, a small town that is between Tyre and Sidon. That was still Gentile territory. Only now there were also Jews there, as the Jews had dispersed throughout the Roman Empire and beyond. As Jesus journeyed, a woman described as a Canaanite woman, that is a Gentile, approached him, seeking healing for her daughter. Jesus initially ignored her, commenting to his disciples, "I was sent only to the lost sheep of the house of Israel." That is a very curious statement at this point, since Jesus had just gone into Gentile territory. And this was not the first time he'd gone into Gentile territory. Moreover, sometime before this, Jesus had readily provided healing for a centurion, a Roman army officer. All that does not equate with the notion that Jesus' mission was only to the house of Israel. One suspects that Jesus is up to something here. The Canaanite woman kept pleading and finally knelt before Jesus, saying, "Lord, help me." Jesus responded to her with a statement so grating and so out of character that it can only be understood as something intentionally designed by Jesus to create an enormous teaching moment. Jesus said to her, "It is not right to take the children's bread and toss it to the dogs." That statement was what many of Jesus' compatriots were thinking. Gentiles were typically considered dogs in the worst sense of the term. They were considered by many Jewish people to be ungodly and unworthy of the blessings that God had reserved for his chosen children of Israel. Keep in mind that when Jesus traveled, there was always a crowd that gathered around him. So Jesus' statement to this Gentile woman was in front of a whole group. And when Jesus said, "It is not right to take the children's bread and throw it to the dogs," there were surely quite a number of Jewish folks in the crowd who were nodding their heads in agreement and muttering, "Yeah, Jesus, put that Canaanite woman in her place." The disciples themselves, minutes before, had urged Jesus to just tell her to get lost. Jesus, in this moment, has created a kind of live participatory street theater, a dramatic moment in which everyone has been drawn and in which everyone's hearts are exposed. The woman responds in a way that I believe Jesus anticipated. With amazing humility and sincere trust, she says, "Yes, Lord, but even the dogs eat the crumbs that fall from their master's table." Jesus answers her with a statement that blasts like a lightning bolt through the crowd. "Woman," he says, "you have great faith." The standard thinking of the time was that Gentiles were far from God, and even a Jewish woman would not have been lifted up as a spiritual example. And yet Jesus lifts up and praises this Gentile woman for her great faith. And this is after some previous occasions when Jesus had criticized some Jewish communities and even his own disciples for their lack of faith. The ultimate outsider, a Gentile woman, is thus declared by Jesus to be in with God. And her family experiences God's healing touch. Through Jesus, the outsiders enter in. Small wonder that Jesus would later tell his disciples to spread the gospel to every nation. Last November, when Wilmot Collins was elected mayor of Helena, Montana, the congregation of Covenant United Methodist Church there erupted in applause. That's because Wilmot and his wife Maddie are members of the church, where they are well-liked and respected, and the congregation knows and celebrates their story. Wilmot and Maddie came to this country as refugees 23 years ago. They came from Liberia, where a civil war was raging at the time. They came to Helena because Maddie had been a part of a previous exchange experience there. When they settled into their new home, the first thing that happened was that someone vandalized their house, painting KKK and the words "Go home to Africa" on the wall. Wilmot says, "I don't dwell on that. What I dwell on is the reaction to what happened. My neighbors got together and washed the walls down." Wilmot and Maddie ultimately became U.S. citizens. Wilmot served in the U.S. Navy Reserve, and now he is mayor. When people in a community live in the grace of Christ, the outsider is welcomed in. The ministry of Jesus was ultimately to welcome the whole world to experience God's redeeming love. We are the Gentiles, the one-time outsiders who encounter in Christ the grace and promise of God. And now we are called to join with Christ to reach past every barrier of hatred and prejudice to show God's love to all. Then we are on that journey with Christ to take God's light and saving love to the world. Let us pray. Lord Jesus, we give thanks that you have come to us, that you reach to us with your grace, your endless love, and your promise. Inspire us, Lord, to answer your invitation, to open our hearts and lives to you, that your healing and restoring and uplifting love might be at work in us, and that we might, Lord, then be empowered to join with you, to walk with you in faith, and to share in how you would guide us to be a part of your outreach of love to the whole world. Lord, we thank you for your church, the opportunity to reach to one another with care and support. We do lift up those in our own fellowship who are in times of challenge and illness. We pray for those who are sick. We give thanks for our fellow United Methodists at the Peninsula United Methodist Church, and thank you we can join together to be in mission with one another. And we thank you, O Lord, for how you are calling us to reach out into the world today. We thank you we've been able to be a part over past years in the mission team outreach to Sager Brown Mission Depot. We pray that you would inspire us as we continue that mission, inspire persons to answer the call today, to connect with that mission center where we gather items that then are sent out in disaster relief work throughout our hemisphere. We praise you, Lord, for how we can reach out into the whole world A world today so full of strife and division and hatred and trouble. Empower us, O Lord, to indeed be instruments of your grace and your peace, to be persons through whom your transforming love can be at work. Lead us, Lord, as we would look to you in trust, as we would walk with you in faith, as we share then in how your good news and your endless love can flow into the world through us. In the name of Jesus, our Lord and Savior, we pray. Amen.
Thank you for listening to this edition of the United Methodist Church of Kent Sermon Podcast. For more information about the church and to read Dr. Palmer's notes from the pastor blog with more about today's topic, visit www.kentmethodist.org.